The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. It is 4 minutes past nine on Friday, the 22nd of November, 2024. And we are out of the studio today. We're broadcasting live from the lobby of On Green On Theatre in Letterkenny. So if you want to call down and say hello, please feel free to do so. We have our Friday panel coming up as normal very shortly, but we've got loads of great additional guests coming up over the course of the 3 hours. We're going to go through some of the history of On Green On Theatre as it marks its 25th anniversary, and there's some events coming up and so much to talk about as well, so stay tuned for that. We want you involved in the conversation throughout. In fact, maybe you've a memory to share about On Green On Theatre. Feel free to send those to us, or indeed your comments as we work through the issues in the first hour, to the following numbers on WhatsApp. It's 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. That's the text number as well. If you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25000, and if you would prefer to email, it is comments@highlandradio.com. And what is particularly different about today's Friday panel is they're actually in with me, which is great. Eamon McGee is with us. Eamon McGee, good morning to you. Thank you so very much for calling down. How are you keeping?
Good, Greg. How are you? It's good to get chatting face-to-face with you again now.
It feels like...
Hopefully that's the end of the Zooms.
No. Well, I mean, it depends on your availability. Can't drag people from Malinhead down, you see.
Yeah.
We also have Cathy Donaghy with us. Cathy, great to see you again. How are you keeping?
Great, Greg. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're a little bit like me. You got here nice and early because you were preparing for the worst in terms of the roads.
The roads.
Thankfully, they weren't too bad. Christy Galligan. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me. Great.
It's great to have you with us. It's great to have you with us as well. Right, okay. Eamon McGee, let's start with the election. A week out. Right. How excited are you? How excited is the general population?
I think there hasn't been any moment now where you would just say, right, let's plug into this and get on with it. It's been, in memory, one of the most boring lead-ups to the a general election. That's in my own opinion now. Seen the TG Cahir poll. I've also plugged in, I don't know if you can say it, the news talk. Election coverage, and Ivan Yates is slightly different taking it, but you know, we're still giving the two seats to Fianna Fáil now. But you know, just in general, it's been a rather humdrum run up.
And is that because of the politicians and maybe the media, or is that because of our attitude as the public, or is it somewhere in between?
I think it's somewhere in between, just the way that the parties are presenting themselves. Like, there's no radically different party. You know, with the three parties that are going to get in, Sinn Féin, you could argue they're slightly to the left, but not to an extreme. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, there's no wide difference between the two of them, again, in my opinion now. But, and it just means it's more or less the same thing, and that creates apathy amongst the electorate. So there's also a thing where people have just come a wee bit jaded with politics. You know, people are still seeing the same problems reoccur. The housing's still a thing. You know, we need money in the pocket, and there's been no answer. And again, it's just accumulation of things.
Cathy, have you been enthused?
I feel so unenthused. Greg, I don't know what is going on with this election, that nothing is electrifying it. I've covered so many general elections over the last 20 years, and there was always moments that you could say, yeah, that's the moment, there's a zeitgeist about it, or there's an energy. This is so flat and lacklustre, and I think everything about this general election, everything is so staged to within an inch of its life. You know, you see pictures of people dancing and, you know, sound bites. Everything just feels stagey. There doesn't feel like there's any proper engagement with people, like a real heart-to-heart kind of movement. I don't know what that is, but I would love to see More of that. In the hustings in the past, we used to have that, but it's gone. I think it all feels so set up.
So
and
what has changed, you know, drawing on your sort of experience of so many elections, is it the sort of the TikTok Taoiseach-y kind of generation-y type of stuff that it's not reaching us in traditional ways? I don't know. What do you think?
There is that, but there's also, you know, things are managed to within an inch of their lives. You know, there's a kind of a smoothness there now that, you know, before politicians would be let loose, perhaps, and now, you know, you have so many handlers say this, say that. Everything's so coiffed and so smoothed over that it takes away that sense of, you know, passion for politics. I think that's what it is. And that definitely leads to people turning off. And even when you see these so-called scenes where somebody's dancing in a shopping centre, it just feels fake.
Right.
That's how it feels to me, Greg.
No, that's exactly why I asked you the question. Christy Gallagher.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's kind of a burnout in all of us, and I agree with both your panels, but both your panels have said there's a burnout in all of us, and we've had the local elections, the European elections, we've even had the American elections that have invaded our lives quite substantially, and nobody ever thought, looking at the polls in America, who would win again a second term, but here we are, and what could happen in 2025 globally, economically, to all of us in 2025. But here we are, the three major parties, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, there's not a wild lot between them. We're going over the same old ground, and have we improved the lot for the ordinary people out there? I was looking at different aspects there this morning in relation to housing, rentals. I mean, here in Letterkenny, the average rental now in Letterkenny for a two-bedroom apartment is €1,200. For young people, that's a lot of money coming out of your wages every week just to sustain a proper cost of living. And then you have the cost of living, and all of those things are still there and still very inherent in people's lives. So, you know, you could see a run on independence. I could see a run on independence here in Donegal, even though the percentages by the polls here from TG Gahar show, you know, the Thomas Pringle at 11%. Thomas could be, you know, with Pat the Cope Gallagher going over the west of Donegal. You could see a big change there. Maybe Pat the Cope Gallagher could take a lot of votes away from Thomas Pringle. Charles Ward, the Redress Party, is only on 6%, but you never know where the transfers will come from
The thing about that poll that jumps out for me is that I think perhaps Piers Doherty and Pat, I don't know why they polled, right? They do feel a little bit overrepresented in this poll to me.
Yeah.
And the Fine Gael numbers don't make a great deal of sense to me either. Mm. Nicky Bradley on 6%, John McNulty on 6%. Tied level with Charles Ward of 100% Redress Party at 6%. There's just something about that. And also, Padraig McLaughlin, he's down at 11%. Yeah. He was 18% of first preferences. There's something not being picked up there about the geography, I think, of where people... Even Noel Jordan down in the south of the county, only on 2%. He's incredibly popular down there and did really quite well in the last elections. Yeah. I don't know, 530 people across this big sprawling county. I'm not in any way undermining it because it's food for thought, right? But it just feels to me like it's skewed a wee bit in certain areas.
If you look at the 2020 elections there, where Piers Doherty at 27.2%, you know, first preference, and then you went to Pat the Cope, who had 9.6%. 10.8% for Charlie McConnell Logan, 7.1% for Paddy McLaughlin and Thomas Pringle. Now, they've changed quite dramatically from 27% down to 22% when you look at the polls here. So there's constant changes here, but I still believe that you will have definitely, you'll have two Sinn Féin, two Fianna Fáil.
Well, I wouldn't say anything definite about
Sinn Féin. Well, no, probably. Maybe I'm making a big mistake.
I definitely agree with you on that, but I think Pat the Cope Gallagher is going to potentially struggle for transfers given the popularity of Piers Doherty. Mm. What did you want to say there?
No, I was just going to come in there, and I might be off here. You would be more in the loop than this, but are we not moving away from the polls? Have we not been burned so many times by...
100%. Yeah, I get you, and this is not that my opinion matters much. Definitely referendum. The polls were out a million miles. There was one Ohio poll in the United States that one person made a complete hames of. But there's just something, I think, in a county where you grow up and you ask a certain amount of individuals kind of direct questions that I would have a little bit more faith in, if that makes sense. But I the only poll that matters is next Friday, but if we ignored this, we'd be kind of tight on things to talk about with the election, because it's so humdrum.
Greg, can I just jump in?
Of course.
You know, and I think, you know, we are talking, we've made the point that it seems very lackluster in terms of the campaign. But at the end of the day, you know, what we have in our democracy is our vote, you know, and it's so important that we use that. And if we've seen things in polls or opinion polls, we might see a few more over the coming days, we have the power, you know, to do something. All of us have the agency and must get out and use that vote. You know, if we want to see change, we've got to vote. Whatever we want, we it's up to us now. Yeah. And that is, as you say, the only poll that matters.
Before we go on to sort of, we'll dig a little bit deeper in it before we move on. I'm just trying to think of what may have changed over the years. And I just wonder, is there such a high level of scrutiny now in that, anything a politician does now, you've got the ditch there, checking what's going on. You've got people with their mobile phones. You've seen how easily Michael O'Leary got caught out, with the comments that he made. Do you think that's it, that everyone's so careful of not making a mistake that it's become so vanilla, Cathy?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Greg. I think it sort of sanitises politics. Mm-hmm. Of old, if you think back to the 1980s, I mean, it was like a free-for-all, or the 1990s even. Yeah, I think it sort of sanitises it, that people are afraid. People are afraid, perhaps, to say what they think. They're second-guessing themselves, and they're going back, should I say that, should I not? People are, not just in politics, a lot of the time, ordinary people that you meet, they're very they're afraid to voice, because there's always someone there to say you got it wrong, even if it's a tweet or if it's something that you say. So it does probably sanitize things. Maybe it makes people more careful about what they say. But when it comes to politics, it definitely takes that sort of cut and thrust and action out of the whole debate, I think, Greg.
Just before we go on, I don't think any of the parties, the main parties that are actually going to get into power, have come with a wild vision. You know, we've so much money with the corporate tax. We have that Apple, $13 billion to spend, and nobody's come out and just grabbed the attention of the public. This is our vision. This is what we're going to do for the country, and the country's crying out for something like that. There.
Mm. Yeah, and maybe that's how for instance, Trump did as well as he did. Forget all the chat and the rhetoric and the accusations and the felonies, if you can. There was some very, very simple messaging on key issues, and you could argue he's following through on that, Charlie. Christy.
Yeah, it's a bit like what Clinton said many years ago. It's the economy, stupid. You know, it really is about the economy, and people don't want to hear the rest. The rest is only noise. People want to know how much they're going to have in their pockets at the end of the week. Can they afford to spend that amount of money, and what will it be spent upon? Those basic tenets of ordinary cost of living issues are very, very important to Irish people and young people. I know young people that want to build their houses, they're up against planning permissions and the regulations brought in by planning permissions, and the difficulties of even getting affordable or sociable housing, even rental properties. It's all of these things together, but nobody's coming on with it, or from any of the parties, with any definitive things and saying, here, this is what we're going to do. We promise we're going to do A, B and C. And by that, we're getting all these promises.
Well, they are. I just don't think people are buying it. They are. Yeah. I mean, Fine Gael is saying this is what an affordable house would look like. Sinn Féin is a complete new policy on, people getting their first home and that. But I think people nowadays just think it's, you know, it's word salad.
Well, the ASRA came out with a report recently, and they talked about building houses here in Ireland. And they said that because of the dearth of the numbers of qualified people, like your carpenters, your builders, your plasterers, and all of those people, that could, we need something like 8,000 of those people to build affordable social housing in this country. Then why don't we go into the modular housing? If it's much cheaper and it's more user-friendly at the end of the day, and you put it up quicker. Now, the downside of that is, when we heard about the modular housing in Dublin, it went from 330 to build a modular house in Dublin to 400,000, which was crazy. I went over the west of the county here only about a month ago, and one man was able to build modular homes, 2 and 3 bedroom modular homes, for 70 to 110,000. I mean,
yeah, I think really you want to wonder why we don't pivot that way.
Yeah.
How much influence does, you know, that contractors and all that have? You know, are they saying, they might say, look, We'll build houses for you, but we're not building shuttered or wooden houses. We want to pour concrete. I don't know. There is obviously also the reality, Eamon, and that seemingly is that in Donegal, 37% of people, according to that poll, are perfectly content with the current government. There's always this presumption that people want change or you have to move away because people keep saying, oh, the same parties have been in power for 100 years. Well, 37% of people in Donegal, the biggest percentage, right, who've expressed an opinion, seemingly want the status quo to continue. And that can't be ignored either.
Well, it goes back to the thing about we have a decent quality of life in Ireland, Greg. It's not all doom and gloom, in despite of what people say. But there is room for improvement, and I find, especially in Donegal, like this is, I always get kind of annoyed when we talk about this, how much we accept second place in Donegal throughout the years, and that's filtered. The politicians have accepted it for years. People have accepted it for years, and for that 37%, you know, when you look at the rest of the county, I was down Dublin last weekend, jumped on a train up to Belfast, 2-hour train, and it was like it was like a different world, like, and this is only a few miles down the road, and I thought we've just accepted this mediocrity for years, and that's what I'd be saying to the 37%, that do we just want to keep on keep going as second place good enough for you throughout the years in terms of health? You know, the cancer patients
but
have to travel.
But this comes to, this then instantly sort of for me moves into the area that me and Cathy were speaking about earlier in the week. Cathy Donaghy, journalist and author who's with us today, was on the programme earlier in the week. And the conversation and the points you've just articulated, right, aren't really the talking points for the general election for Donegal as such. It's just us. We're just whinge bags, right? But you know what I mean? Where is it? I'll let you pick up, Cathy, because it fundamentally, I think, was your point. You know, where is the actual pre-election proper conversation about, you know, regional balance and all that type of stuff?
I totally agree, Greg, and I feel really passionate about this. You know, it's hard not to sound like whingy and you know, that forgotten county moniker, which, you know, I absolutely do hate. But we are in danger of becoming like a two-tier kind of a structure here in this country, with Dublin and the South and the East going on one level, and Donegal particularly, and the West at a different speed. And, you know, you only have to look at our infrastructure and our services. But it's not okay. You know, we have to say, this is not okay. We want better. We deserve better. We are citizens of this country. You know, what is going on that we don't have the same infrastructure as other parts? I mean, you know, sometimes you travel down that A5, as we discussed, and it's bumper to bumper. It's chock-a-block. It is the main artery if you want to get to our capital city. We do need better. And I think we've got to put it to our politicians that this is what we need. Mm. And we need to be knocking on the door and making these points. It's almost like, in this general election campaign, these things come off the table and we talk about the other issues that are national issues. And you know, housing is a big issue in Donegal. But we've got to look at what is, you know, what is local to us as well. What is really important to us?
Is there a levy on? I drove to work this morning and I looked at the beautiful mountains and I looked at the beautiful trees and I looked at the beautiful scenery and I didn't see any hustle or bustle until I got to Letterkenny. It was beautiful. Is there not a tax on living in rural Ireland, and that tax is that you don't get a train to your doorstep, that you don't necessarily have access to the Three Arena within a ride on a Lewis? Is that possibly the reality, that if you choose to live in rural Ireland, that is the way your life is going to be?
I think there's a trade-off, Greg, and you're right. And I left a city to come and live and work in a rural place in Inishowen. I shouldn't have to, you know.
But you don't want a train track running through in front of your house, either.
No, you don't want a train track. I didn't want it. I wanted a totally different life. You know, absolutely. And the beauty of living and knowing your neighbours in a local community, that is wonderful. But we need roads, Greg. We need to be able to say, we'll raise our kids and allow them to get jobs locally if they want to, without emigrating or without shuttering towns or with access that investment will come into this county. We've got to have access. We don't have access.
I chaired a debate amongst election candidates yesterday in, Loretto Milford. And I asked for a show of hands of the 50-odd students that were there, and the majority raised their hand to say that they wouldn't be here after college, or if they chose not to go to college, you know, a year or two after their leaving cert, which is really quite depressing. I wanted to just ask a specific question of all of you, and then we'll move on as it relates to the general election in this county. And it might sound like a loaded question, but I think it's a genuine question, and I have no motive other than to get answers from you guys on it. How significant do you think it would be, Christy, given the fact that we've been speaking about defective concrete in this county for years? Everyone knows the story and the heartache and all that kind of stuff. How significant would it be? What kind of a message do you think it would send to Dublin if a candidate specific to that issue, 100% redress, wasn't elected?
Yeah, that would be my concern, that like everything else, it would be put on the back burner if somebody wasn't elected from the Redress Party into Dublin, because it's the only way things will move forward in this country. People get fairly angry and angst about certain issues, and one of them is the mica and pirate issue in this country. And it's been dragging on for years. People had lived in houses where they saw cracks as big as put your hand through. And they had this issue where they had to get their pay out of their own pocket for engineers, remove items from their own house, put them into storage, costing them extra money and extra, you know, that and both physically, psychologically and monetarily. This was costing those people a lot of time and effort, and their families were disrupted as well. So I think it's a very important factor come the next government that this, the idea that it needs to be accelerated. There are a number of houses, as you've seen around Letterkenny, that were affected by mica being rebuilt again, but we need it on an accelerated...
Well, there's only 60 have been finished.
Yeah.
And I believe all of those are remedial. Which is...
Yeah.
Okay, Eamon, I'll ask you the same question. You know, I just wonder, post-election, if, you know, say, for instance, Fianna Fáil have two elected or whatever, and 100% redress doesn't have someone elected. I think it sets, well, they might then be a sort of an interesting review of how they handled it themselves, but I think it's going to make the campaign very difficult for them going forward, because the national narrative will be, well, it can't be that big a deal because... you couldn't get someone over the line.
I would disagree completely.
Brilliant. No, it's good.
Sorry.
It's good.
I would disagree because the Mica campaign was one of the most powerful political campaigns. The fact that you go back to the point I made about Donegal, the fact that they got a Leo Varadkar government, you know, to listen, and, you know, they got them up to 100%, and they landed in Dublin and they landed in numbers and they forced the government to listen. I think that's people power, and whether they get a TD elected or not does not reflect badly on that, on the issue.
Yep.
And I think Sinn Féin and Pringle have both promised, you know, to be more supportive of it, you know, so I think that's reflective on the guarantees that the three of them are given.
All right, Cathy, same question to you before the break.
There's 2 points on this, Greg. The first is that perhaps the Mica candidate and the party, they might have been better served to go for a big vote getter like Ali Farn in Inishowen. That's not taken away from Charles Ward. He's a very good candidate. But, you know, perhaps that voter recognition, Ali's a very well-known person, and that, you know, they decided on a candidate. And I'm not sure about that. The other thing I would say is, if people in Donegal think that Mica is just a single issue for homeowners if you're affected, it isn't. It's affecting every single person in this county. What this has the potential to do is create its own microclimate in Donegal that impacts everybody. So if we're talking about Mica, this is a countywide issue. You don't have to have a house affected. This is schools, this is communities, this is mental health. It has the potential, and it is already crippling people all across this county, and that is, you know, across widespread. So that is the that's what I'd say about that.
All right, listen, thanks very much for that. Hi, Greg, just wondering, I'm in the Glenfinn area on the main road. I haven't seen a politician yet apart from Sinn Féin reps. Are they afraid to come to the door every day? I have 45 leaflets of different ones. They seem to be picking up or picking and choosing the houses that they go to. Just wondering, is it the same for everyone else? Can you ask the panel what they thought of the TDV debate for 2 hours and no one mentioned the health service? We'll come to that maybe. Hi, Greg. I hope the people in Ireland wake up next week to this government, especially. The government enjoy a great deal of support. Government needs to give our overseas young emigrants a postal vote like every other EU country and come home. We are members of the EU. Do you think you need to be living in this country, Eamon, to vote in it or... in a general election?
In my opinion, I think you should be living in the country if you to have a shout.
What about you, Cathy?
You know, I feel like our diaspora feel like they're sort of set free. I do feel they have a voice and they have an important, you know, we saw the importance of immigrants sending, you know, home money for years and years. I would like to hear the voice of the diaspora and hear what they have to say.
I would concur too. I think the diaspora should be entitled to vote.
All right. Yeah, but what about people who aren't living here? They could potentially swing the election in favour of a party that might make life even more difficult here. They might have rose-tinted glasses of times gone by.
Unfortunately, a lot of the young people that left here after the financial crash in 2000 probably have rose-tinted glasses because of the pressures of having to sell their homes or leaving their homes or their increasing debt. So, I mean, they were entitled as much as anybody else to...
Sorry, Christy. Government need to give... Oh, I just read that one. The 37 of no empathy for the poor or homeless. They are happy with the system. Hi, guys. In relation to Pádraig McLoughlin only showing 11%, is it possible that the party is trying to manage the vote by deliberately asking Sinn Féin supporters in Inishowen, in particular, to give Noel Jordan their number one and then Pádraig the number two, attempting to maximise their potential for a third Sinn Féin seat, although I don't think that's feasible, though it might raise Noel's profile going forward. I suspect Noel Jordan is running with a view to actually bolstering, if it were required, Pádraig McLoughlin in Inishowen if that vote was split between he and Redress. I don't know, though. That's just my take on it. Hi, Greg. No planning permission for our family members to build a home in certain areas of our county, but planning permission granted for an Islamic cultural centre and no planning permission required to house immigrants. Thank you. I get where they're coming from. They're conflating some issues. You know, people having a place to pray is not stopping people being able to build houses on the N56 or wherever it might be. That's the planning guidelines as they're laid out. Redress were wrong to run a candidate, says another. Okay, we are in the company of Christy Galligan. He's a former Garda Sergeant, of course. Cathy Donaghy, a journalist and author. Eamon McGee, former inter-county footballer and columnist. We'll be back with more from all of our guests after we take this quick break. Stay where you are. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We are broadcasting live today from Ongrianon Theatre in Letterkenny. It's celebrating its 25th anniversary. Coming up in the second hour and throughout the rest of the program, we've got loads of guests to discuss the history of this fine establishment. But at the moment, we're in the company of Christy Galligan, Cathy Donaghy and Eamon McGee. And I'll go to you first, if that's OK, on this one, Christy. There's been some controversy over a Garda decision to print the images of publish the images of over 100 people as part of their investigation into the Dublin riots. Those interested in civil liberties have taken some issue with this. They believe it could be problematic that it could put a target on the backs of some of these people. What do you think about that as a tool of investigation in this instance?
Well, we have used that tool of investigation, and many other police forces all over the world have used that as a tool of investigation to try to identify people. FBI have a wanted groups. They display all the time of hundreds of people who want all over the world, including Europol, Interpol and all of those. So it's not surprising. This was an unprecedented riot in Dublin based on misinformation and disinformation from certain extremist groups. There was 13 Garda injured, 28 vehicles attacked, Lewis Trams, buses, you name it, 66 premises owned by individuals or companies attacked and stuffed, stolen. Now, the Garda are saying that the 99 images, 29 of those were taken off yesterday in the last couple of days since they showed it, where people have been identified. And they're not saying that these people are guilty or otherwise.
No, there's pictures of them in a store after closing hours.
They have to close
three boxes of shoes.
Yeah, but they're not saying they're innocent to be proven otherwise.
Course, I know,
absolutely. And people are entitled to that under our laws. But at the same time, they're trying to say that by producing these easy images online, they're trying to identify the people that are involved. And then say, right, were you involved in this criminal activity? But it's not just about identifying through the photographs. There's a lot of other work for statements, forensics, and all of that DNA that has to be brought into the fore before somebody is actually questioned or arrested and brought.
With that due process that is there, does this then not put the cart before the horse?
No, not necessarily. I mean, they were trying to identify. I mean, there was lots more than 99 people involved in the serious riot in Dublin. They've already, there were 57 people arrested at that time, and 53 people charged. I think 14 were convicted. And one person there the last day who was burning Garda cars got 6.5 years for their riot. And really, at the end of the day, we have to have a semblance of law and order in this country. If we don't, we're going to have anarchy. And I always believe that visible policing. The big problem here was the management, number one, and I would be, an advocate for management of the rioter situation. There was a lack of management. We had young guards, and I know of young guards from all over the country who text their colleagues in Dublin saying, we're on the way, without even notifying their supervisors or senior managers in different counties to get to Dublin to prevent this from happening. Mm. And that was the reality of the situation. The real issue here was the management of the riot by the Garda headquarters. Their slow delay in ensuring that those members had the right equipment and be there on the street to prevent this from happening. You won't always prevent everything from happening. You're going to have riotous situations. But the extremist elements took advantage of a very serious situation where young
kids... I think there was a lot of opportunistic
criminality that went on. But I think they went the right way. We have to identify them.
Okay.
Either you're inside the... where you're going to be charged for a certain offence, or else you're not involved, either or.
Cathy Donoghue, what do you think? Do you think this is an appropriate approach from the Gardaí?
Yeah, I think it is in this case, because, and I know the criticism has been that, that this was a very big, proportionality. There was so many photographs published. But I think if you remember the scenes from that night, and I think all of us do, we were watching our TV in absolute horror. And, you watched O'Connell Street buses burning. One image that comes to my mind, and I will never forget it, was of a Garda on his own being cornered by thugs. Now, proportionality is something that the Irish Council for Civil Liberties said was over the top here. I would say that in this case, what we saw, those scenes on O'Connell Street, was so unprecedented that there has to be a different response to this.
But what if one of them was the spitting image of you?
Well, the Garda
and next thing you know, locally...
someone knocks on your door.
Not even knocks on your door. Next thing, someone takes a picture of that, tags you in it on your social media, right? Mm. And you're a person that your reputation's very important to you. Mm. And next thing you know, it's going round that I saw a picture on the Garda website of Cathy Donoghue. I couldn't believe she was involved in the riots. Now, then you can, that'll do the rounds for an hour or 2 hours. Then you clear it up, but still... Mm.
Yeah.
There's going to be three or four dozen people out there that think you were in there stealing a pair of runners for yourself.
I have to say in this case, Greg, that the bigger picture is that justice has to be done. We do have due process. People will be processed through the courts.
This is not due process, though.
But we need to identify these people, and the Gardaí need the public's assistance. And I think in this case, that we need to ensure that those scenes are never replicated again, because as Christy says, this was anarchy that we saw on our streets. And the Gardaí need the public's assistance. And what would be great is if we could see the Gardaí and the public working closer together, like we had in the old Garda system, where your Garda walked down your street. And I think that perhaps that this is, yes, it's a change, but it's absolutely necessary given the scenes that we saw.
What do you think, Eamon?
I think if there's going to be a crowd acting the pup, then I've no problem at all with their photos going up. And there could be the rare situation, if you're talking about 100 photos, there might be one that looks like me, and there'll be it'll be quickly cleared up. if you're going to go out, and you go back to the word Christy used there, there's an unprecedented situation. You know, you have to come down hard in situations like that there. And I was glad to see, you know, your man getting 6 years for burning the Garda car. But I've no problem at all with these photos going up. Like, why would you be in a shop in the middle of a riot now? So you're crying about a picture up online. So no problem at all.
All right, okay. Hi, Greg and panel. I need a scene, a Sinn Féin, a Sinner or a Sinner. I don't know what that is. Well, I know what it is, but I don't know if there's two different types. Oh, a Sinner or a Sinner. Only a leaflet drop from Pat the Cope. Seems like they're picking and choosing houses, candidates. Hi, Greg. I have to agree with your panellists that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are basically the same and that there is little difference between them and Sinn Féin policy-wise on most issues. This was seen in the last referendum when Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin deliberately misled the public, they say, wrongly stating that the Constitution says that a woman's place is in the home. It was a cynical attempt to trick the public into voting yes, which has resulted in the loss of fundamental biological women's rights. Emigration policies for all three parties are also similar. Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael all support unlimited numbers of migrants and a suspension of the Dublin regulations. There is more variation in it than that, but that's your view. All three are promising huge numbers in social housing. Sinn Féin are a bandwagon jumping party on the popularity of the water rates protest and jumped on the defective blocks issue. If you want a retro-thinking, subversive Marxist government vote, Sinn Féin. Was a parent-teachers meeting last night. Teacher confirmed to me that she does not teach that filth in the SBHE box. She skips over it, but it is in fear of talking about it. Morning, Greg. Just looking at Charlie McConnell's election leaflet on defective concrete blocks, it went from 356,000 to 499,000. 500,000 euro. This is just 500 euro, 100,000 euro off a million. If half a million is not enough to build a house in Donegal, we may forget about our young people ever owning a home. Our great young people will continue to leave, and that is very sad. But this is the problem, you see. It's not 500,000 euro. You get a per square foot rate up to 500,000 euro, and for many it's in and around the 364. You'd have to have a very big property to, as the square footage is laid out, to get the maximum there. Plus there's other stuff comes off that again. Regarding there being no postal voting in Ireland, it would be so helpful for elderly and disabled people, students who've had to travel to Dublin or further for college and can't get the day back to vote, or unfortunately booked a holiday more than a month ago. Well, you can't vote in that situation, but you certainly can in the others you mentioned. I think I could be preventing a good amount of the population from voting, and it isn't fair on them, but there is postal voting. Now, the window to register was 2 days after the election was called, but that is there. I'm not affected by defective concrete, but fixing all homes affected would be number one priority. I don't live in Letterkenny, but second to that would be infrastructure such as the Bonagie Bridge and the A5 upgrade. We have the money to spend on it. And then there's a few people pointing out that. Well, I'll get to those messages as the morning wears on. Right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with much more from our panel. They are Christy Galligan, former Garda Sergeant, Cathy Donaghy, journalist and author, and Eamon McGee, former inter-county footballer and columnist. That's all coming up after we take this break. A lot of people feel, according to the text machine, Eamon McGee, a lot of people feel underserved, I think, by the national media in terms of debates and what have you. Now, there is a three-way leaders debate, I think, early next week, but the 10-person debate didn't land with a lot of people. The public seemed to feel it was useless.
It was a waste of time. You know, trying to moderate 10 people and get 10 people's opinion and policies inside of a time limit, I felt it was such a waste of time. And it goes back to the point that we're nearly afraid to offend people. We're nearly afraid to take on the controversy where, you know, some people will be omitted and there'll be a blowback on it. You know, you go...
Well, there was one, obviously, the AIM2 have only have one elected TD, right? Although they've got greater ambitions than that. And the lady's name escapes me at the moment. She's a party of one.
You're sitting there, and whoever made that decision, you know, we'll have the 10 and we'll have the minor representatives. You know, I don't know what they felt they were getting out of it. And of course people are going to be underserved by that there, because you got no gauge. you didn't see where anybody was going, and you're just looking for that weak quote.
I mean, there was no reference to health. Immigration was, you know, check out a program we did last week, and I think housing, that's coming up next week or something. And I was sitting, I watched a bit of it, and I was like, well, what's the function actually of
how
this?
Any young person that would have an interest in politics, or not even young person, how anybody with an interest in politics that is sitting on the fence and saying, I'll vote based on this, you're no further on.
Minds, Kathy.
Yeah, I agree with him, and it's so sort of polished and stagey, and I didn't feel I learned anything new, or that there was any, you know, there was no light being on any issue being revealed for me at all. I feel like we need to find a better way to do things. You know, it seemed like a cast of thousands, and I learned nothing.
Until someone Trumpy comes through, is that always going to be the case? Like, I'm sitting there and someone's going, well, we're going to do 30,000 houses, and someone else is going to do 40,000, and I see your 40,000 and I'll raise you to 45,000, and then we're going to do this in the health service, and then we're going to do, you know, and you know, people sit at home going, no, you're not.
But the thing is, when you're sitting there across the table, I'm running for election, and I fire out 30,000, you know, I'm going to build 30,000 homes. If you were a big debate like that there, you're nearly pressured to move on to the next one, whether if you're sitting across from me,
scrutinise it,
and then you can come at me again, explain how you're going to deliver this, and I'll come back with a bit of bluff, and you go back at me again, and that's a proper debate.
Yeah, there's more time.
Christy?
I agree totally with the panellists here, because I switched on and switched off in 5 minutes. That's how interested I was.
And also, they were never going to get the staging of it correctly. There was a 1 in 6 chance of either Micheál Martin or Simon Harris being where they were. Yeah. There's a 2%, 2 in 100 chance of them being beside each other right next to the moderator. Yeah. And then, as it so happens, the Green Party was... Roderick O'Gorman was just immediately to her left.
That's right.
And then you had Sinn Féin all the way over in the right.
Side,
and it was like...
Yeah.
And I'm not... It was never going to be correct. Because even if that was Simon Harris isolated over in the right, the visuals of it were just...
And then the debate itself, they were talking over each other, and they were kind of... It was all very muddled, and you heard the same entry of what each were proposing. But then, you know, you hear this all the time and say, well, look, hold on a minute, you've been in government for the last 14 years. Have things changed? Have things changed radically since you come back in? Yes, we came out of a financial crash. Yes, we paid a high price. Everybody... paid a high price for the lack of regulation and government oversight. But here we are again. We're talking about increasing the number of houses to 30, 40,000. We have a lack of staff both in our health service. Our schools need an extra 1,000 teachers. The guards need to retain recruits. All of these things are issues that are happening all the time.
And it's the stuff that affects people that really doesn't get a debate. Like, we were in, as I mentioned, Loretto in Milford yesterday. They have a huge school population, and they've got 5.5 SNAs spread across that school.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I saw one of the SNAs day, and she was all over the place. The other school in Milford, because it's got a different designation, they've got 16 SNAs. And it's all, both schools serve the same population, the same area, the same people. But that's never going to get discussed, really, is it? You know, but that's what's bothering people. That's the real life stuff, everyday stuff.
But these are issues that are already known by the people who are in charge. But no decisive decisions have been taken. Now they're promising that they're going to have more SNAs, they're going to have extra this, that and the other. Those are all the promises that we've been given time after time, but yet we seem to elect the same people back in. You know,
but that's democracy.
There seems to be sometimes, I think, a remove, you know, from what people are experiencing and from what politicians talk about, you know. You know, when you meet people and you talk to people in their homes, you know, the everyday issues, I don't feel like they're somehow not translating. There's like a lost in translation mode going on in politics right now that I think we need to get back. You know, we really do get away from the polish and get away from all of the, you know, the
flam. Culture wars, get away from this nonsense about, like, there was a text about that SPE... religion class. And like, in the grand scheme of things, how is that putting someone up or down? You know, people have issues about what's been taught in the
I'm not saying it's not insignificant, but when you see, you know, 4,000 homeless children, when you see the amount of children waiting on SNAs, when you see the amount of children living in abject poverty, And one, a school book gets so much attention. I'm not saying it's not insignificant. It does blow my mind that are we burying our heads in the sand on other stuff as well. But listen, I can't believe how quickly this time has gone through. Gone absolutely like a rocket. Eamon McGee, former inter-county footballer, and Colleen Miss, thanks so much for calling down.
Thank you, Greg.
It's great to see you. Cathy Donaghy, always a pleasure. Thanks for the trip that you made as well. And Christy Galligan, former Garda Sergeant. I think comfortably we could all do another couple of hours on this, but unfortunately time does not permit. Right, we're going to take a break for the news and the obituary notices. When we come back, we've got a load of guests and we're going to be talking about 25 years of this amazing building in which we're sitting here now on Greenon Theatre.